All righty. Welcome, loves. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, 8 minutes after 4 o'clock. I'll continue the topic if there is interest in it, and if there's not, trust me, I've got a whole bunch of other topics I can pull out of my nether regions at any given time. So what we've been doing today is continuing with what we ended yesterday with that everybody seemed to really, really like and wanted more of, and that is... If we at WBEN, if we had like the Odyssey time machine, which, as I understand it, corporate is actually in the process of developing. The problem is you're going to need 18 passwords just to get into it. But if we could develop a time machine and put you in the time machine and say, okay, you can go back to two events in history, but the catch is you have to bring your cell phone or something to video everything you see, and you have to bring it back to us so everybody else can see exactly what it is you saw. What is it that you would like to see that actually has taken place in history or may have taken place in history? Like one of mine, I mean, I could list about 100 of them, but one of my time travel things, I'd love to go to Roswell, New Mexico, the night the alien spacecraft supposedly crashed. I would love to do that. I would love to know the truth. What was it that hit the ground? Something hit the ground and made a stir, made a splash. The Army Air Force even issued a press release, which was quickly taken back, I guess realizing possibly the implications of admitting, hey, there are things out there in the universe, and we don't know what they are. And, oh, yeah, by the way, we can't defend against them because they're super, super advanced. That might be a little bit of a problem. And look at it this way. That was, 1947, thereabouts. And here we are in our current time, and our government actually has a department devoted to unidentified aerial phenomena. So it's not, how do I say this? UFOs are not tinfoil hat stuff anymore. I mean, there are people who are taking it very, very seriously. And why shouldn't they? Why shouldn't every potential threat be taken seriously? Just a thought, just a question. But where is it you would like to go? I mean, there are so many places I would like to go back to and see exactly what happened. Because, you know, one of the things that I would argue about history, and look, I love history as much as anybody, but at best, I think that history is a rough approximation of what we think probably happened. A rough approximation of what we think probably happened. And then the further back in history you go, I think the less reliable it becomes. I mean, certain things we can all agree upon, I think. Julius Caesar, yes, he was assassinated by a bunch of Roman senators. I think most people could agree with that, right? Somebody yesterday brought up the so-called Trojan horse, which most people think is a myth. Well, if we had a time machine, we could go back in time and figure out, okay, did it really exist or was it a myth? And if it existed, how big was it? Were there just a few guys in there, like Delta Force guys in there to infiltrate the city of Troy and open the gates for their buddies? I don't know. I haven't a clue. But what would you personally like to go back and see actually take place? And please, nobody say, I'd like to go back and watch the wide right field goal again. Please, nobody say that. Or I'd like to go back and watch 13 seconds again. You can see that on YouTube. We're primarily interested in things you can't see on YouTube. Somebody else called in and said, Escape from Alcatraz. They wanted to know, did it really happen? Whatever happened to Amelia Earhart? I personally... Somebody yesterday said they'd like a video. They'd like to actually watch the sinking of the Titanic. But the problem with a lot of these disasters is it would be, I think, very heart-wrenching to watch what happened after the Titanic hit the iceberg. And one of the essences of time travel, you know, in every movie, you can't interfere. You can't touch anything. There's nothing you can do to stop anything that you are seeing. Once you commit that, okay, I want to see the Battle of Gettysburg. Okay, well, we'll take you to the Battle of Gettysburg, but you can't exactly stand in the middle of the field and say, guys, the war is going to be over in 2 years and you're all going home. Just go home now. End it. Nope, you can't do that. 803-0930, the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. I would, you know, one of the things that I would also like to see, and again, you can't really do, you can't do anything about it, and this is, let's see, okay, Tombstone with Kurt Russell, Val Kilmer, and Mr. Silverado, Sam Elliott, and a bunch of other people, of course. Tombstone is a modern era Western classic. Okay, Tombstone has a cult following. Terms like "I'm your Huckleberry," I mean, Bella Vita uses "I'm your Huckleberry" all the time. So it has worked its way into the popular vernacular. But I've actually been to Tombstone, Arizona, and I would absolutely love to know what really happened at the gunfight in the alley next to Fly's. It wasn't the OK Corral. It was near the OK Corral. But, you know, the shootout at the OK Corral is a lot more sexy sounding than the shootout in the alley next to Fly's. That doesn't have nearly the poetic ring to it, like the Duck of Death. Sorry, that was Unforgiven. 803-0930. Well, no, because there is controversy over exactly what happened at the gunfight at the OK Corral. Were the Earps and Doc Holliday simply cold-blooded killers, or did the so-called cowboy faction, did they draw down on the Earps and Doc Holliday first? And by the way, Doc Holliday, in the gunfight at the OK Corral, when he was told by one of the cowboy faction, "I've got you now, you SOB," he really did say, "You're a daisy if you do." That's actually in some of the old newspaper accounts. And the prop, again, when I talk about history being a rough approximation of what I think we know, depending on whether you supported the cowboy faction or the Earp faction in Tombstone, you have a totally different view of what happened at the battle, the gunfight at the OK Corral. There's basically two different versions. Here is Bernadette in Williamsville. Bernadette, you're on WBEN. Don't worry, I'm not singing the song. Ain't happening.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I would love if I could go back and visit and see how they built Stonehenge. I know someone mentioned yesterday about the pyramids, but to be perfectly honest, any of those ancient sites that all we keep hearing about is how we cannot accomplish that today. Stonehenge, Göbekli Tepe, Machu Picchu. I think there's probably a lot we could learn from that. There must be some lost technology we do not have any longer.
Stonehenge is absolutely, it's absolutely fascinating. Have you ever been to Stonehenge?
I have not been to any of those wonderful sites. I would love to, but don't know if that'll ever happen.
Been there a couple of times, and both times have been to Stonehenge. I know the theory about how they allegedly carved out the stands and the cross pieces and everything else, but the technology of the time it was built, I don't see how they could have accomplished it, but apparently they did, and they accomplished it with tremendous accuracy. And archaeologists keep finding stuff all around Stonehenge indicating that it was a pretty expansive place and had great religious significance there on the Salisbury Plain, not to be confused with the Salisbury Steak.
I had heard that as well. And then even most recently, I believe they've been uncovering not a few, but thousands of grave sites near there. So they were wondering if it's also some type of a medicinal or healing place.
Didn't work very well if there are all those grave sites.
No, apparently not. But with that and the fact that those stones, those blue stones especially, came from, I believe it was like 170 miles away over some incredible terrain, how do they do that? How I think we could learn a lot if we could go back and see all of that.
Well, they could have conceivably used felled trees as rolling mechanisms. They certainly
yes,
were aware of the power of the lever.
Planet.
I'm sorry, honey?
I think we would have deforested the entire planet by now if we keep going with that theory for the pyramids and everything else.
Well, you just take the first one, then you move it to the back, and then you take the next first one, you move it to the back. You wouldn't have to deforest. Yeah. Wouldn't have to deforest much, just enough to give yourself rollers to transport it. But I mean, look, that's a hell of a lot of work. That's a hell of a lot of work, and over a prolonged period of time, the staying power of these people, whether you're talking about the Great Pyramids or the Great Pyramid itself and its buddies, or even the Step Pyramid, which was the first one built in Egypt, supposedly, I don't understand how in the hell they got the logistics together, the food, the water, the workers.
Yes, exactly.
How did they do it?
How did they organize that? And why would you accomplish something so amazing and never write down what it was for or why or how you did it?
Well, they didn't write back then. There was no writing that we know of in that part of the world.
There was papyrus and other scrolls, and they've carved into every surface in Egypt all kinds of stories, but nothing about how they did that, built those pyramids.
Some societies were literate and were able to write. Apparently, the people who put Stonehenge up were not among them. I mean, you're right about the Egyptians. Mm. And you know, another thing, too, as long as we're talking about antiquity, I would love to watch, was it Champollion? I would love to see him decipher the hieroglyphics. We know how he did it, but the hieroglyphics were such a mystery for so long. And this guy figured out that the Coptic church, the Egyptian church that he was walking by all the time, I think it was in Paris, but it might have been somewhere else, that there was similarity between that alphabet and the hieroglyphics, and he was able to figure out hieroglyphics. That's that's one of the most amazing things ever.
Yes, I agree, and that's an amazing thing.
Wait, Bernadette, I'm starting to lose you, but hold on, I want to continue this conversation. Excuse me, on WBEN. Oh, you guys, tell you, you guys love this topic, and this is, like, totally right up my alley. All right, Bowerly, our last caller, did not wish to hold on. But, yeah, Stonehenge, again, you get into the question of the engineering of it and the logistics of it and the practicality of it, and how did they pay the people who built Stonehenge? How did they feed them? How did they water them? And how did they get those rocks all the way to the Salisbury Plain from where they were thought to have been quarried? I don't know. I think you'd have a hard time finding engineers today who could work that problem out, but I could be wrong. That's not my forte. I can't even, obviously, unscrew the battery charger for my new nose trimmer. Here is, nose hair trimmer, actually. Paul in Williamsville, you're on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How are you today?
I'm enjoying what you guys are into. This is kind of cool.
Yeah, well, I'm not as big of a history buff as you are, but I thought it would be fascinating to be in the room with our founding fathers as they're writing the Constitution. The thought that went behind it, that is so much of it, which is still applicable 200 plus years later. I would love to know what they were thinking and what they were talking about.
The Constitution, and how about the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights?
Absolutely. Same. Yes.
That would be, you know what, that to me, that would be fascinating. And also the debates that took place before the Declaration of Independence was drafted by Thomas Jefferson, from which, as I recall, he borrowed heavily from the Mecklenburg Declaration of several years previously. But if you talk about personalities in history, it would be fascinating to take a look at a day in the life of Thomas Jefferson. I mean, when he wasn't abusing his slaves sexually, it would have been fascinating to see a genius at work. He did so much. He had no more time in his day than you have in your day. And look at all he did.
It makes me embarrassed for myself.
I know. I feel like an underachiever. Now I didn't even make par.
I think you're doing okay.
Well, compared to Thomas Jefferson, no, I'm a cipher. I'm a zero, believe me. Thank you. Thank you very much. Actually, James Madison thought to be one of our smarter, if not smartest, president, but Jefferson obviously was brilliant. I mean, most of our founding fathers, I mean, were clearly men of superior intellect. But, you know, the educational system, I think, was so much better back then. We can talk all we want about, well, we have a better cross-cultural understanding today, but those guys, most of them spoke Latin, Greek, most of them were very fluent in French, which was the diplomatic language of the time before English basically engulfed the world with British colonialism, and they were smart dudes. They really were, obviously, but I agree with the caller. It'd be fascinating to listen in on those debates and arguments that they were having. I'm happy to continue this if you want me to. Load up the phone lines so I know what you would like to see. If we could build you a time machine, go back, and you can videotape whatever it is you want to videotape, and then come back and show us all. The diversity of answers is actually, in a weird way, it's actually helpful to me in future programs. Like, do I do a show now on Stonehenge? Did a show in the Shroud of Turin. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. News coming up with Tom Puckett on WBEN. Yeah, it's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. So, hey, you guys liked what we ended with yesterday, so I said, hey, there's probably some more to this topic, and I guess there is. If we could give you a time machine and you could go back and video one or two, I don't know, maybe three events and come back and show us, hey, this is what really happened, what would you do with the time machine? Where would you set the knobs? Just make sure you set it properly to get back. You know, the thing about Stonehenge is the stones for Stonehenge were supposedly quarried in the Preseli Mountains in Wales. And then they were transported 180 miles from there to where Stonehenge actually stands. Now, that would be like taking those stones from Buffalo and moving them 30 miles past Syracuse. Really? How? I want to know how they did it. How many people were involved? How'd they feed them? How'd they water them? How'd they do their workers' comp? Here's Fred in Lancaster on WBEN. Hello.
Hello, Tom. If I was to go back in time, one caveat, I want to be up there for the moon landing because I don't think they did it. And a few things. They lost all the technology to get back. I'm sure you know that, right? That's on record, documented. They don't have the technology to get through the Van Allen radiation belts now that they had back then.
That strikes me as being preposterous, actually.
Well, it's preposterous but true. The other thing is some of the camera angles have reflections of people filming off of the masks of some of the astronauts. I think it was Collins was talking as they were doing takeoff back off of the moon. There was no noise of sitting on rocket engines. I mean, even if you're in a plane, there's noise. So, I mean, the guy was crystal clear as they're blasting off from the moon. So there's just a lot of things that aren't right. And did you see that India went to the moon and it looked like it was like Nintendo 64? So every government's getting in on this scam and getting billions a year.
How did they get the moon rocks? If we weren't on the moon, how come there are moon rocks at the Smithsonian? Or do you think those are fake?
Oh, I could call anything a moon rock. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, those aren't definitely, if we weren't on the moon, they're not moving.
So what was to be gained by staging a landing on the moon, and who stood to gain?
Well, the United States. We were in a battle, and the Cold War was heating up. Kennedy said he wanted to be the first one to the moon. So, and on TV we were. What's to be gained? Billions and billions of dollars a year in budgets. That money gets siphoned off. People get contracts, high-priced jobs. If you look at some of the astronauts they interviewed after, Armstrong told a six-year-old girl that we were never there. And that's on tape. That's how come we never been there.
I would like to see that tape. I mean, by the way, there is some talk that NASA is going to go back to the moon. But, all right, I mean, if the question is, what would you like to see? You say you would like to go to the moon in July of 1969 to see if man really landed on the moon.
Bingo. And then bring back the tape that it never happened.
If that's what you want, that's what you want. I don't agree with you, but if that's what you want, that's what you want.
It's self-affirmation.
What do you mean by that?
I'm just affirming myself. That's why. You know, I have this belief, and if I was able to do it, that would be great. I would be able to go, see, I showed everyone. I showed the... Because my friends think I'm a lunatic, but hey.
Well, if your friends think that, they know you pretty well, right?
Just on that issue. They like me on all the other stuff.
Okay, let me ask you this. How do you feel about the Mars, the pictures from Mars? Do you think that there's really an American spacecraft on Mars sending back photographs of the Martian terrain, or is that also a hoax?
Oh, that thing's filmed up in, there's a place in Canada. They see, there's mice that they catch on film. Every once in a while, they catch like an animal or something moving across. Because it's filming for whatever, the Mars camp for 24 hours, whatever. They catch stuff like that. On one of the moon rocks that were up there, in one of the pictures, it has like things you would set down for filming that they have in Hollywood. So, did you see the Stanley Kubrick interview where he actually said that he helped film the Mars or the moon landings? There's a tape of him, and he died 6 months later.
Well, Stanley Kubrick, do you think that it's possible that Stanley Kubrick might have had dementia and might have been led down that road? Just asking the question.
Well, yeah, I think it's possible we could have landed on the moon, too, but I don't think it's likely in either case. I don't know. It's just too much evidence piled up against us doing that. I challenge anyone to go and check about that. They lost all the information with regards to landing on the moon and how the trajectories getting through the Van Allen belts, all that's lost.
Where does one even find that information or alleged information?
It's NASA admitted to it. It's all you got to do is Google it. They're on record is stating that it's lost. They don't have any of it. The tapes, everything. The information that got them there. They have none of it.
Well, what they need is Tom Hanks.
If you look at the spacecraft back then, you brought up a statement earlier about. You know, you don't know how something like that could have happened back then. The technology wasn't there. It isn't even there now. Because we would have been there and back a couple times.
I mean, I've heard the theory that we haven't been to the moon since 1972 because of the astronauts seeing aliens who weren't very happy that we were on their turf. But you don't believe that because you don't believe that we're ever there to begin with.
I don't believe the astronauts. I think that they, one of the astronauts hung a lemon before test things because he was trying to make some kind of a statement. Yeah, I'd love to get these guys on lie detectors.
But I mean, what you're saying. It sounds an awful lot to me, with all respect, like the stories about the lost cosmonaut who basically was shot into space and then basically, for whatever reason, got out of the gravitational pull of Earth, and you can hear him screaming and moaning and crying as he's going off into the wild blue yonder?
Well, like I said, Tom, I challenge you to look up everything I said, especially the losing all the information related to getting to the moon, that NASA. That is on record, that they lost all that information.
Well, I mean, see, when you say on record, like on record with whom and how reliably, because there are supposedly 96... Can I talk for a minute? There are supposedly 96 bags of human waste on the moon. So if they... Let me ask you this. If they found 96 bags of human waste on the moon, presumably it's still there, would you then concede that we really made the moon landings?
Who found them?
Let's say we got to the moon. Let's say we got to the moon tomorrow on the Concorde version of a spaceship, or actually faster than that. If they found, however they got there is immaterial. If they found 96 bags of human poop on the moon, would you then believe that we were on the moon?
Tom, they have telescopes that can catch a dime flip, and satellites that can catch a dime flip on the ground. You don't think they could turn them and take pictures if there are actually stuff left on the moon? They could actually take zero in and take pictures. I've not seen one picture of any of that. Yet they're able to get photos of 20,000 light years away. They're able to get a supernova photo, but they can't take pictures of the moon and the equipment that's on the moon.
But a supernova is huge. I mean, it's not. I mean, the moon is pretty small compared to a supernova. Number one, number two, those satellites you're talking about. I mean, they're relatively close to the Earth, and they. And you are correct. They can read the dates on a coin in your hand from space. That's correct. But I mean, so you basically want to prove or disprove that man landed on the moon?
Tom, I would settle for the astronauts all taking a lie detector test. If half of them passed, I would believe it.
So when astronauts are on their deathbeds, why don't they say, by the way, that whole moon landing thing, it was a hoax?
Most of them have families. They don't want to jeopardize that. Just like for the same reason athletes from Russia didn't, a lot of them never defected, because they know they're leaving a family in Russia, and what's going to happen to them?
You're not saying the United States government would do anything horrible to its own citizens, are you?
Just to Kennedy.
Say
that, would you?
I'm actually being very, very facetious because actually,
I understand.
There was a believe it or not, there was a CIA plot that Kennedy refused to stage fake terrorist attacks on the American people and on American soldiers and blame them on Castro and Cuba so we would invade Cuba. So when I ask you the question, you don't think the American government would do naughty things to its own people. I'm being very facetious. All right, we'll see what other people have. I don't buy your theory, but thank you very much. I appreciate it. Technology's only gotten better. So if we've lost the technology from 1969, I suppose that would be because it's so outdated. It'd be like trying to find a tube for a Sears amplifier from 1969. Is that outdated too? I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't there. I wasn't on the moon. It is interesting the number of astronauts who say that they did see unexplained aerial phenomena during their voyages, and there is at least one article online. Well, you can do your own research on the moon landing. I've always assumed that it actually took place, the moon landings. If they didn't take place, that certainly is an amazing hoax. I mean, you'd have to have everybody at the Space Center in on it, I would think. Stanley Kubrick and his crew and everybody involved in producing a movie. And if you were involved in the Cabrini movie at all, you are aware of exactly how many people are involved in making a movie. I don't know. I don't know. My guess is we probably were on the moon, but I could be wrong. Here is Bill in East Aurora. You're on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. How about going to the Pan American Exposition on the day that McKinley was shot and being in line and meet him?
September 6th of 1901. One of the interesting parts of that story is his personal secretary urged him not to do it, that it was too great a risk. It was only supposed to be 5 or 10 minutes long. And interestingly, McKinley, the thing that gets me about the McKinley assassination is here's a guy who served a long time in the Civil War, and he was in a lot of the worst battles of the Civil War. He escapes the Civil War with not even a scrape. He comes to Buffalo, and he gets whacked by Leon Czolgosz. I mean, that's pretty bad timing, to say the least.
You imagine history on what was changed by that action?
I guess one of the things that was changed would have been America's foreign policy under Theodore Roosevelt.
Right. And how about all the labor that was treated more better under Roosevelt than it was ever McKinley? McKinley was against the working class people.
Well, for a guy who was against the working class people, he sure did win by a landslide in 1900.
Yeah, but I mean, he changed a lot of history.
I would love to see a video of the assassination of McKinley, and I would not be focusing so much on the shooting of McKinley as I would be on the security guys and what the hell they were thinking, letting somebody approach with a handkerchief, whether it's warm in the building or not. Nobody approaches a chief of state with a covered hand. Come on.
Yeah. But the rest of the thing would be fun to see the industrial buildings and stuff that was there, the different, things in the park itself that was made. That would be I'd love to see their thoughts on, it was their first electric boats, electric trucks that they started. And, of course, Tesla made it possible.
Yes, Elon Musk had a great deal to do with the Pan American Exposition because he is a noted time traveler, at least on the Internet. I agree. The Pan American Exposition would have been magnificent. And the only surviving building is the Buffalo Historical Society. That's it.
That was a New York State building, yes.
Yeah, I that would be cool. I would love to have seen how majestic Buffalo was in the days when it was a top 10 American city, as it was in 1901. And as we all know, the assassination of McKinley is why the Buffalo Bills will never win a Super Bowl.
That's right. Sounds good to me. How about Crystal Beach, 1943, during the war, when they had a lot of entertainment over there and dancing, and it was a diversion from the war.
Yeah, that doesn't do it for me, but if that's where you would like to go with a time machine, just back to 1943, that's fine by me. It's your call.
Yep.
It wouldn't be high up on my list, but if it's high up on your list, so be it.
That was a tough time for the United States and Canada.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the call. Unfortunately, I've run out of time for the hour. If you guys want me to continue this, I'll happily do it. I've got some other stuff here that we can get into revolving around Thanksgiving travel. I might give you a couple of topics to talk about in the 5 o'clock hour. I'm pretty free and easy.